Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Anglican Church of the Good Shepherd in Calgary. I'm the Reverend Derwin Kostanak, the priest of the parish, and I'd like to welcome you to this service video. Time has been ticking for us. It's the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. Next week is the 31st of October and Halloween happens, and then we have our Remembrance Sunday after that, and then it's a couple more weeks, and we're at the end of the liturgical year, ready to launch into a new one with the beginning of the Advent season. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we can certainly see that time is going by. We are hopeful that soon we'll be able to gather again in person. There is a possibility that we might be able to do that as early as next week. We'll find out on Tuesday, and I will certainly let everybody know. But until then, we continue to explore the scriptures and spend some time thinking about what God's will and purpose for us would be in this way. And so this morning, I invite you to settle in. We're going to hear a couple of scriptures that are going to expose us to something of the character of God and the character of Jesus. And as this opening prayer is going to imply, that we would have a response of our own to that which we learned this morning. So let us bow in prayer. O Jesus Christ, teacher and healer, you heard the cry of the blind beggar when others would have silenced him. Teach us to be attentive to the voices others ignore, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, respond in your name to heal the afflicted and welcome the abandoned, for your sake and the sake of the gospel. Amen. So now let's turn our attention to the reading of the scriptures.
A reading from the book of Psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of Christ.
Over the past couple of weeks, we've discussed a particularly important theological observation, and that is that God is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Now, that might not seem like the most dramatic or earth-shattering observations to make. After all, if we call ourselves Christians, it's because we are recognizing that following God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ is what our faith is all about. But actually making that point and making it clear is of vital importance because what it does is it helps us when we encounter other descriptions of God or God's activities that make us really feel uncomfortable or would cause us to say, is that really so about God? We observed all these last couple of weeks that that's often what we see happening with some of the revelations of God found in the Hebrew Bible, and in particular with the story of Job. Does God really operate that way? Then we look at how God is revealed in Jesus, and we have to conclude, no, that doesn't make sense. It cannot be. And so we recognize that God is revealed to us in Jesus, and as a result, we are able to know what God is like by looking at what Jesus has said and done. Now, by extension, though, we are meant to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus is no longer walking around on the earth. He hasn't for the past 2,000 years. And so in a similar way then, Jesus is revealed by us. That is to say that someone can know what Jesus is like by looking at what it is that we say and do. Now, how does that work? Can that work? Is that really the way it's meant to be? Well, that's a really good question, and it's definitely something worth exploring this morning. The first thing would be to recognize that we are not Jesus. Yes, I just said that we can reveal Jesus to those around us by the things that we say and do, but it would be good for us to begin with that understanding that we are not Jesus. Now, I don't say that to suggest that any of us might presume to think, oh, well, you know, me and Jesus, we're on the same level, you know, anything Jesus did, I could do too, you know, it's just a great thing. Yeah, no, I'm not thinking that any of us are thinking that way. But it is important to say that because it takes away the pressure that we might feel to perform. That somehow, if we were to think that we had to be just like Jesus, well, how am I supposed to think that I could heal the sick or raise the dead or, as we heard in the gospel this morning, make a blind man able to see? But this is the thing. Jesus has a unique role in revealing God to us. Jesus had come and done what he had done for that express purpose of the role he was to fulfill. So we're not looking to duplicate Jesus. We're not looking to think that somehow the exact same things could be happening. There is one Jesus, and I'm not him, and you're not him, and that's the way it is. So having established that, though we are not Jesus, though we do not fulfill that same unique role that Jesus did, though we are certainly not expected to do the exact same kinds of signs and wonders that we read about in the Gospels, and even though there's no way to think that we could begin to say something that would be on par with Jesus's wisdom and Jesus's eternal capacity for revealing God to us in what he has said, nevertheless, we can follow in Jesus' footsteps. And in so doing, even though we might say, I can't heal somebody, we can nevertheless do what Jesus did. We learned last week and reviewed that emphasis where Jesus said that even the Son of Man, even I, Jesus said, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Now, we are not able to give our lives as a ransom for many, but we certainly can give of our lives in service as Jesus did. We are ones who can follow his footsteps in that way. We can do what Jesus did by being someone who serves others. That's an example Jesus set that is very much attainable. And so for us to explore this idea a little bit further, to be able to see how we can indeed do what Jesus did by being a servant as he was, now we want to turn to the gospel and look a little bit more closely at that reading that we heard this morning. I think the story of Bartimaeus is really helpful to us because of the way Jesus engages with the blind man. I mean, let's not make light of anything here. Jesus miraculously heals him of his blindness, and he does so just simply by saying it. He doesn't reach out and touch him. He doesn't anoint him with oil. He doesn't make mud with saliva and put it on his eyes or anything like that. He just simply declares that Bartimaeus is healed, and indeed, suddenly and immediately, he can see. So that's amazing, that's crazy, but that's the part of Jesus that we are not. But the part of Jesus that we see in this episode that we are like is, as I said, how he engages with Bartimaeus. After Bartimaeus has called out to him, "Son of David, have mercy on me," and then when he's told that Jesus is there and he jumps up after flinging off his cloak and goes to Jesus, he's obviously a highly motivated individual and he approaches Jesus. And so Jesus asks him this question: "What do you want me to do for you?" Maybe he didn't quite say it in that inflection. Maybe he said it a little differently, just looking at him with concern. "What do you want me to do for you?" The point is, we read that and think, isn't that kind of a silly question to ask? Wouldn't it be obvious that he would want to see? The guy's blind. Why does Jesus ask the question? Well, there are a couple of possibilities there. One possibility could be that Jesus didn't know that he was blind. I mean, we aren't told that Jesus was aware of that. We're told that Bartimaeus had been blind and people were aware of that, but that doesn't mean that Jesus knew as they were making their way out of Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. So it's possible that Jesus didn't realize that he was a blind man. It may also be that Jesus was assuming that Bartimaeus was probably going to ask for alms, ask for a handout. After all, he was a beggar. He was a panhandler, right? You know, and we see this in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are on their way to the temple in Jerusalem, and there's a lame man there on the way, and this guy is asking for alms. That's all he's expecting. He looks at Peter and John and asks for a handout kind of thing. And Peter turns to him and says, "Look, we don't have any money, but we can do something else for you," and then they heal him right then and there. So, you know, maybe Jesus is thinking the same way, or he at least doesn't want to rule out that possibility. But it's possible, maybe Bartimaeus was simply going to ask for some cash. Those are possibilities, but there's another thing that happens. By Jesus asking that question of Bartimaeus, one thing he does is he gives Bartimaeus agency. He empowers him. He acknowledges him as a human being with desires, with wishes, and with the ability to communicate what it is that he wants, what it is indeed that he needs. Rather than making an assumption, rather than just simply deciding, "Oh, I see what's going on with you. I know exactly what you need. Let me take care of that for you." He instead invites a response. He turns to him and asks the question. Now, when we look at it that way, we find very much that Jesus is doing something, is showing something, is providing an example of something that we indeed can do. We can encounter someone who's having a difficult time or who has approached us or whatever, and we can ask the same question: "What do you want me to do for you?" Or perhaps we'd word it differently: "Is there anything I can do for you?" By asking the question, we are not presuming to know what is best. We are not saying, "Let's rush in there and be the hero and solve your problems for you." But we're saying, "I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. Is there anything I can do for you?" And that, of course, is a question that we can all ask. And so if Jesus asks that kind of question, and if we can ask that kind of question, perhaps we ought to consider this is an important way for us to offer service in Jesus' name for those who are having a difficult time. Now, when talking this way about being of help to people when they're going through a difficult time is not meant to suggest that we can only represent Jesus when people are having difficulties. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. But it is simply acknowledging that people tend to reach out for help or are most receptive to someone else's input in their lives when there is some kind of challenge or circumstance. That's just the way it is as human beings. I mean, when life is going well for you, I would think you don't normally think about asking somebody for help. When things are good, you wouldn't expect that someone would come up and say, is there anything I can do for you, right? It's when things are challenging. And of course, this is borne out in the Gospels themselves. We see that there were those that were enamored by Jesus's teaching and would follow him. But so often what would happen is somebody is going through some challenge. They're sick or they've got a disease, they're blind or deaf, or someone has died or what have you. And then they approach Jesus on the basis of that need. So it's simply a reflection of what tends to be human nature. It's when the bottom has fallen out of someone's life. It is when they encounter some kind of difficulty that we most often have the opportunity to offer ourselves in service. And so with that thought in mind, another thing that is important for us to keep in mind in this way is that we need to be ready to offer that service at any time, which means we don't have to wait until we're all prettied up and in Jesus mode or something like that before we can expect to do this ministry of Jesus or see the ministry of Jesus extended through our works. I mean, that's how come I'm not wearing my clericals right now, right? I'm not wearing my collar. It's just sitting right here. And I don't have my robe on and everything. I mean, typically that's how I dress when I preach a sermon, but I thought, let's just go ahead and do this one like this, because the work of the Lord is there no matter what we look like or how we're dressed. I didn't even shave today, right? It's just, here I am. I am what I am, and I'm doing this right now. And every one of us can do the same. We are to be ready to offer ourselves in service no matter what, no matter what the context is. And that's another important thing to recognize, is that these opportunities for service will come at various times and various places. Just like this sermon has been shot all over the place in the church, is meant to symbolize the fact that when it comes to our opportunities for representing Jesus to others, is it could be in any context at any time. It could be in the grocery store or at your home. It could be while you're working out in the gym or going for a hike or whatever, or maybe when you're sitting down having a coffee at Higher Ground Cafe or something like that. The idea is it could happen at any time. And we need to be aware that we represent Christ, whatever that circumstance is. That's another reason why you've been seeing a candle in every shot. The candle representing the light of Christ is a reminder that no matter where we find ourselves, the light of Christ is to be shining through. And so, as we embrace this idea that we can simply offer ourselves in service like Jesus did by asking a question of someone, is there anything I can do for you? We can do that wherever we are, no matter what we look like, at any given moment. And this is a good thing to know. We don't have to be studied up on some theology. We don't have to go and prepare a Bible passage or something like that. It's just as people encounter us day by day, if we find an opportunity to offer ourselves in service, we can do that. We can simply ask the question and know that the Spirit of God is within us, that Jesus is pleased that we would be reflecting him in that way, and we can take this step to whatever extent it can be done in that moment to share something and show something of who Jesus is, and then, of course, by extension, who God is to those who are facing difficulty or in a time of need or who have come to us just telling us that the bottom has dropped out of their lives. You know, one could say that that's what all of this sermonizing is about. That's what all of these different things we do at church about. This is why we worship on Sunday morning. This is why we have Sunday school. This is why we do different Bible studies. This is why we even do social events and things like that. It's not just for us to have a good time and enjoy each other's company, though that is certainly a benefit for it. But all of it is meant to serve to continue to fill into us the understanding that we represent Jesus, so that when someone comes to us and says that life is just going downhill for them, that we would be able to say by instinct, is there anything I can do for you? And that question would be asked, recognizing that it is part of our privilege and obligation, part of our requirement, you could say, but really the opportunity we have to introduce Jesus to them and to their situation. And so this morning, I invite you to think about that a little bit more. Can you be like Jesus? Well, yes, yes, you can, because you can offer yourself in service. Can you do and say what Jesus did? Well, yes, yes, you can, because Jesus listened to people and he said to them things like, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we can all do that. It is a joyful thing to be a follower of Jesus. And when we recognize that we are able to make a difference in someone's life, especially when they're going through a tough time, that fills us with a sense of purpose and gives us a sense of meaning that goes beyond just simply living our lives for ourselves. And then to know that in responding in that way, we are indeed reflecting the one that we follow, the one whose name we bear. To know that, I think, is a very encouraging thing. We are all disciples of Christ. We are all followers of Jesus. We are all ministers, servants in his name. We can all do this. All we have to do is listen and ask the question. Amen.